and a very warm welcome to Health Naturally with me, Tash Vinsale. Lovely to have you with me this evening. And coming up in tonight's show, devotion is the focus of our thought for the day. We then move into a progressive relaxation, which is going to help calm your nerves and soothe your muscles and will really set you up for the week ahead. And our topic for today, we are going to be looking at diet and drugs and all the wonderful, positive, proactive things you can do to help yourself recover during periods of illness. Now, remember, there's a lot of information to take on board, so please do get a pen and paper ready if you would like to make some notes. And also remember, I love hearing from you. I love your comments. I love your stories. I love your feedback. So please do get in touch.
Contact us here at Radio Way. Call 01932 87 44 33. Email studio@radioway.co.uk. Press call Radio Way on your Hospicom unit or visit our website www.radioway.co.uk.
Today's story is all about devotion, that wonderful feeling that is shared between people that truly love each other, and is aptly demonstrated in this lovely story called Dance in the Rain. It was a busy morning, about 8:30 a.m., when an elderly gentleman in his 80s arrived to have much-needed stitches removed from his thumb. He said he was in a hurry and that he had an appointment at 9 a.m. I took his vital signs and had him take a seat, knowing it would be over an hour before someone would be able to see him. I saw him looking at his watch and decided, since I was not busy with another patient, I would evaluate his wound. On exam, it had healed well, so I talked to one of the doctors and got the needed supply to remove the stitches. While taking care of his wound, I asked him if he had another doctor's appointment that morning, as he was in such a hurry. The gentleman told me, no, that he needed to go to a nursing home to eat breakfast with his wife. I inquired as to her health. He told me that she had been there for quite a while and that she was a victim of Alzheimer's disease. As we talked, I asked him if she would be upset if he was a bit late. He replied that she no longer knew who he was, that she had not recognized him in over 5 years. I was surprised and asked him, "And you still go every morning, even though she doesn't know who you are?" He smiled as he patted my hand and said, "She doesn't know me, but I still know who she is." I had to hold back the tears as he left. I got goosebumps on my arm and thought, that is the kind of love I want in my life. True love is neither physical nor romantic. True love is an acceptance of all that is, has been, will be, and will not be. With all the jokes and fun that are in emails, sometimes there is one that comes along that has an important message. The happiest people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything they have. Life isn't about how to survive the storm, but it's about how to dance in the rain. Gosh, folks, that's left me quite emotional. I wish you all the most beautiful lives and a life filled with love that you can share with those around you. And now some time for quiet reflection. Today's relaxation slot, we're going to be doing a technique called progressive muscle relaxation. Now, progressive muscle relaxation exercises are relaxation techniques that involve progressively tensing and then relaxing muscles or muscle groups. By tightening a muscle and then releasing it, you can feel the difference between tense and relax. Actively engaging in progressive muscle relaxation exercises effectively loosens and relaxes your muscles. Make sure you do not do any movements that cause pain. If any of these exercises cause discomfort, ease up or stop to ensure that you don't cause any muscle cramping or injury. Sometimes if you are very tense already, actively tensing your muscles with progressive muscle relaxation will not be helpful. In this case, you may want to try some passive progressive muscle relaxation exercises instead. For example, you can focus on your breathing. Begin by finding a comfortable position, sitting, standing, or lying down. You can change positions during any time of this progression muscle relaxation to make yourself more comfortable as you need to do so. The first progressive muscle relaxation exercise is breathing. Right now, breathe in forcefully and deeply. Hold this breath, hold it, and release. Let all the air go out slowly and release all the tension. Again, take a deep breath in. Hold it. And this time exhale more slowly. Allowing the tension to leave your body with the air. Now breathe even more slowly and gently. Breathe in. Hold. And out. Again, breathe in and hold. And out. Again, breathe in and hold. And out. Continue to breathe slowly and gently. Allow your breathing to relax you. The next progressive relaxation exercise focuses on relaxing the muscles of your body. Start with the large muscles of your legs. Tighten all the muscles of your legs. Tense the muscles further. Hold on to the tension. Feel how tight and tense the muscles in your legs are right now. Squeeze the muscles harder and tighter. Continue to hold this tension. Feel the muscles wanting to give up this tension. Hold it for a few moments more. That's it. And now release. Let all that tension go. Feel the muscles in your legs going limp, loose, and relaxed. Notice how relaxed the muscles now feel. Feel the difference between the tension and the relaxation. Enjoy the pleasant feeling of relaxation in your legs. Now focus on the muscles in your arms. Tighten your shoulders, your upper arms, your lower arms and hands. Squeeze your hands into tight fists. Tense the muscles in your arms and hands as tightly as you can. Squeeze harder, harder. Hold the tension in your arms, shoulders, and hands. Feel the tension in these muscles. Hold it for a few moments more. That's it, you're doing well. And now release. Let the muscles of your shoulders, arms, and hands relax and go limp. Feel the relaxation as your shoulders lower into a comfortable position and your hands relax at your sides. Allow the muscles in your arms to relax completely. Focus again on your breathing. Slow, even, regular breaths. Breathe in relaxation and breathe out tension. In relaxation and out tension. Continue to breathe slowly and rhythmically. Deeply in and out. Again, deeply in and out. One more time, deeply in and out. That's good. Now focus on the muscles of your buttocks. Tighten these muscles as much as you can. Hold this tension. Hold it. Hold it. That's it, you're doing well. And release. Relax your muscles. Do that again. So again, focus on the muscles of your buttocks. Tighten these muscles as tight as you can. Hold, hold, hold. That's it. And release. And relax your muscles. Now tighten the muscles of your back. Feel your back tightening, pulling your shoulders back and tensing the muscles along your spine. Arch your back slightly as you tighten these muscles. Hold, hold, hold. That's it, hold it. And release. Let all the tension go. Feel your back comfortably relaxing into a good and healthy posture. Now turn your attention to the muscles of your chest and stomach. Tighten these muscles. Tighten them further. That's it. Hold this tension. Hold, hold, hold. And release. Relax the muscles in your chest and stomach. Finally, tighten the muscles of your face. Scrunch your eyes shut tightly. Wrinkle your nose. Tighten your cheeks and chin. Hold this tension in your face. Hold it. That's it. And relax. Release all the tension. Feel how relaxed your face is. Now notice all the muscles in your body. Notice how relaxed your muscles feel. Allow any last bits of tension to drain away. Enjoy the relaxation as you're experiencing it. Notice your calm breathing, your relaxed muscles, and enjoy the space. When you are ready to return to your usual level of alertness and awareness, Slowly begin to reawaken your body. That's it. Wiggle your toes and fingers. Swing your arms gently. Shrug your shoulders. That's it. And just relax. Stretch if you like now. Breathing in, bring your arms above your shoulders. And as you breathe out, bring your arms back down to the sides. And just enjoy that feeling of being centered, being calm, and being ready for anything that lies ahead. Today I want to talk about medicines and drugs and their link with the diet. Now, drugs can sometimes influence the body's ability to use certain nutrients. As a result, a person may have an iron deficiency, for example, even though their diet contains plenty. Similarly, certain nutrients can actually slow down or speed up the absorption of certain drugs. Some may alter the activity of the drug in the body or affect the rate at which the drugs are broken down. Grapefruit, for instance, greatly increases the absorption of certain drugs and should be avoided while you are on medication. Certain drugs need to be taken with food and others between meals. Taking vitamin supplements is sometimes beneficial and sometimes harmful, depending on the drugs being taken. So always ensure that you check with your medical professional. Now, dietary complications are seldom a problem when medicines are taken for a short time period, unless the patient is already malnourished. Nutrient-related side effects are much more likely during periods of prolonged treatments for conditions such as hypertension or mental disorders, and if over-the-counter medications are taken for extensive periods of time. Elderly people are also especially vulnerable, as they are often prescribed more than one type of long-term medication and may follow an inadequate diet. However, when prescribing or selling drugs, doctors or pharmacists ought to be aware of the most common problems associated with them and can therefore suggest any necessary precautions before you start taking any medicines. The following examples I'm going to discuss shortly will cover the most commonly observed interactions between medicines and nutrients. You may not recognize the name or the type of drug you're taking because of the many different proprietary and generic names that are used by the manufacturers for the same kind of medication. So if you're in doubt, please do seek help from your doctor or your pharmacist. In the first category of medications, I'd like to talk about antacids. Now, these are used for treating indigestion, heartburn, and stomach ulcers. Those that contain aluminium hydroxide should not be taken on a continuous basis because they reduce the body's ability to absorb phosphorus. If the diet is low in phosphorus, using these drugs long-term can lead to the softening of the bones. So in this case, it's good to eat good quality lean meat, fish, and eggs because they supply your body with phosphate. The next group of drugs are the laxatives. Regular use of strong laxative drugs known as purgatives is harmful because excessive loss of water from the body can lead to dehydration and to low levels of potassium in the blood. Furthermore, the accelerated bowel function reduces the absorption of almost every type of nutrient. Mineral oil laxatives such as liquid paraffin have a similar effect, and the use is declining. They also interfere with the absorption of vitamins A, D, and K, as well as beta carotene. Since absorption of vitamin D is essential for the absorption of calcium, excessive use of medication of this type, so your laxatives, can increase the risk of osteoporosis, especially in elderly patients and postmenopausal women. If medication is needed for constipation, it is wise to use a bulk laxative. So things like bran, espigula husk, or psyllium seeds are much better. Better still, treat the cause by eating a high fiber-rich diet, which includes whole vegetables, pulses, whole grain cereals, and stewed dried fruits, prunes, and figs especially are fantastic natural laxatives. The next category are medications for heart and circulation. And here I want to talk about anticoagulants. These are used to reduce blood clotting and are prescribed for certain forms of stroke, thrombosis, and problems to do with the heart and circulation. They include things like warfarin, heparin, enoxaparin, aspirin, and similar drugs. And their role is to inhibit the role of vitamin K in the blood clotting process. Now, while receiving this treatment, do not take supplements of vitamin A, C, or E because they can interfere with the anticoagulant. And especially in the case of vitamin E can actually increase bleeding. So stay away from vitamin E while you're taking anticoagulants. In terms of food, foods containing vitamin K, such as broccoli, Brussels sprouts, spinach, and lettuce, should also be avoided during the time that you're taking these anticoagulants. Another form of drug for heart and circulation are your lipid-lowering drugs. And there are several types in this category that are given to patients to reduce blood cholesterol. And they act by binding to the cholesterol in your intestine and preventing reabsorption into your bloodstream. Now, because of that, it can also interfere with the absorption of things like iron and folic acid. So it's important that your diet contains these nutrients, or that you supplement with a good quality supplement that contains iron and folic acid. Lastly, the one I would like to talk about is drugs for the heart itself, like digoxin. And digoxin you should not take at the same time as having fiber-rich foods, because they tend to bind with both the insoluble and soluble forms of dietary fiber. What that basically means is that less of the drug is going to get into your bloodstream. So take your drug and, for example, your breakfast at an hour apart, or at least 2 to 3 hours apart, and then that will at least increase the chances of the drug being absorbed effectively into your system. We now turn our attention to drugs that treat infection, things like your antibacterials and your antibiotics. A common problem associated with these drugs, which are used to treat bacterial infections, is that they can simultaneously destroy bacteria residing in the gut, which are responsible for producing some of the vitamin B and vitamin K used by the body. But these types of medications are usually used for a very short period of time. While taking a course of antibiotics or antibacterials, it is often helpful to restore the balance of the normal gut bacteria by eating certain types of live yogurt. Things like your bio yogurts are very good, or drinking a little bottle of Yakult would be fantastic. First, check with your doctor, though, because certain types of calcium-rich foods, such as milk, yogurt, and cheese, can actually interfere with the action of certain types of antibiotics, including penicillin, penicillamine, and tetracycline. The live yogurt treatment may still be beneficial, but it should be postponed until a few days after completing the course of antibiotics. Although tuberculosis is no longer a serious problem in many countries, the anti-tubercular drug isoniazid is still widely used. It can cause a drug-induced pellagra, which is a nutritional disease that is more commonly found in developing countries. Symptoms include scaly dermatitis, diarrhea, and depression. Malnourished patients and elderly, as well as alcoholics, are amongst the most vulnerable to this deficiency and should receive around 10 milligrams of niacin, which is vitamin B3, daily to compensate. Nystatin is a drug that is antifungal and is used for the treatment of yeast infections such as thrush. This drug can actually interfere with the action of vitamin B2, which is riboflavin, and vitamin B6 peridoxide. So again, supplementing with the B vitamins is a good idea. And in terms of food, eating whole grains, meat, eggs, and dairy foods is going to be very useful if you're taking these drugs. Now, with particular reference to the antimalarial drugs, which are drugs that are used to prevent us from catching malaria while we're traveling, one thing to note is that they can actually reduce the absorption of folic acid into your bloodstream. So if you're taking this category of drugs, if you're traveling, please ensure that you take a good quality vitamin B with folic acid so that you stay healthy and well. We now take a look at the drugs for the urinary system, in particular here, the diuretics. And these are used to increase the output of urine from the kidneys. And it's often necessary for treating fluid retention in the body, such as that associated with kidney disease. Some diuretics, in particular the thiazide drugs, for example, bendafluoride, is used on a long-term basis to reduce high blood pressure. The loss of minerals such as potassium and calcium is one of the inevitable effects of excreting high levels of urine. If the diuretic is known to cause a particularly high potassium loss, dietary supplements may be recommended, but I would urge you do this under the guidance and supervision of your doctor and your GP. Losses of other micronutrients can also be corrected by eating diets rich in certain foods. So lots of fresh fruit, vegetables, fiber, and of course, good quality fats. You can also take multivitamins and multiminerals, which are at safe levels, which will help reduce the effects of mineral loss. Now, what about contraception? And here I'm talking about the pill. Early studies suggested that taking the pill increased requirements for certain vitamins and minerals, but this view is no longer held as the newer generation of pills seem to be a far superior product. Indeed, the pill may even increase the absorption of certain nutrients such as iron and calcium. It also decreases blood loss during menstruation. When a woman decides to stop taking the contraceptive pill in order to conceive, it is most important that she increases folic acid intake to at least 400 micrograms a day to reduce the risk of birth defects during the subsequent pregnancy. Doctors recommend that a 400 microgram folic acid preparation taken daily for women planning contraception and for the first 3 months of pregnancy. We now take a look at the drugs for muscles and joints. Your non-steroidal drugs that are taken for rheumatoid arthritis and similar complaints contain a drug called sulfasalazine. And sulfasalazine can actually affect the body's ability to absorb folic acid, one of those important nutrients that is essential for the immune system. So your defenses might actually be affected and weakened. So again, important to take a folic acid supplement or to have a diet rich in folic acid containing foods, things such as your pulses and your green vegetables. The action of sulfasalazine is reduced by high levels of iron and calcium, so supplements containing these minerals should not be taken. High doses of vitamin C, which can cause kidney damage when taken with this medication, should also be avoided. Those who are intolerant of salicylate should not take sulfasalazine. Steroids are now slightly different to your non-steroidal drugs in the sense that they contain the steroids and they are used long-term as anti-inflammatory agents. However, prolonged use may sometimes cause things like diabetes and raise blood cholesterol level. Care needs to be taken to avoid weight gain and to follow a diet in low saturated fats. For aspirin and methotrexate, also used for the treatment of arthritis, it's important that you follow a very good diet and drink lots and lots of water as well. Now, with regard to medicines for the nervous system, your analgesics, there are several taken for pain relief, but aspirin is possibly the most popular and widely used. Aspirin, however, has been shown that in some cases it can reduce the level of folic acid in the body. So again, supplementing here is going to be important. Moving on to the anticonvulsants. These are prescribed for the treatment and control of epilepsy and psychiatric disorders and are normally taken for a period of many years. They include things like phenytoin, which is a drug also used to treat irregular heartbeat, which can also reduce the levels of folic acid and vitamins D and K in the body. Phenobarbital, which can affect the body's ability to use vitamin D, and primidone, which interferes with the metabolism of folate. It's therefore important to avoid any vitamin deficiencies by taking a supplement or by eating foods rich in those nutrients, especially things like oily fish, eggs and dairy foods, and the green leafy vegetables. Your drugs for Parkinson's, and one of the most commonly prescribed drug for the treatment of Parkinson's, is L-DOPA or levodopa. Its action is impaired by the amino acid phenylalanine and by vitamin B6. Hence, it's important to avoid supplements containing those nutrients if you're taking levodopa. In our last category of drugs today, it's your cytotoxic drugs. And these are the drugs that are used in cancer chemotherapy to limit the growth of abnormal cells. One of them in particular, methotrexate, which is also used for the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis, can cause gastrointestinal bleeding and diarrhea and affect with the body's use of folic acid. When prescribing this and similar drugs, doctors will monitor the conditions of the patients. They should not take folic acid supplements because high levels of the vitamin reduce the effectiveness of the treatment, which aims to provide just enough folate to support normal blood formation. but no more. However, patients will benefit from a nourishing and well-balanced diet, which will include folate-rich foods. Folks, I hope that's helped you to understand what it is that you're taking and also the types of effects that you can have when you're taking certain medications. I think in short, it's important to be informed, have a good diet, and supplement where necessary. Well, folks, that's all we have time for this week. Remember to join me next week when we're going to be talking about the powers of a convalescing diet. Remember, if there were any topics that we covered this evening that touch you in any way, please do get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. All your stories, all your comments are very, very welcome. Well, this is Natasha Van Sail on Health Naturally. Until next time, good night.
Been listening to this week's edition of Health Naturally, presented by Tash Van Sail here on Radio Wave.